Great to have you here this morning. Great to see you're here with us and that we have this time of fellowship together. When we started this year, I had selected a couple of different themes to introduce throughout the year. The first one, the overall theme being a clearer vision of God. The first part of that, as you might remember, was a clearer vision of God through His Word. And we spent a number of weeks looking at God's own description of Himself in such passages like Exodus 34 and so forth. Then we were planning at some point to talk about a clearer vision of God in suffering. And so it's kind of interesting how that the pandemic and the coronavirus and all of that happened about that same time. So we've been kind of looking at that, not only maybe not so much in our sermons, but maybe in our everyday life. And then we'll have some other things that we'll soon get started with as well. I want to begin by pointing out a passage that we find in the opening chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. A wonderful passage of hope and comfort. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." Today in our society, in our world in which we live, we're sort of hesitant to talk about the subject of suffering, particularly as it relates to death. And I think that's pretty normal. That's pretty commonplace throughout the ages of history. Men have been hesitant to talk about that feared unknown we call death. I don't know why that is. It probably varies from person to person. It may have to do something with its unknown nature, the feared unknown. It may have to do with loneliness that is often associated with death. For whatever reason, maybe the pain or the anticipated pain of that circumstance. But for whatever reason it is, the Hebrew author refers to it as a slavery, fear of death being a form of slavery, Hebrews 2, verse 15. But the fact of the matter is we need to learn how to handle it, because if the Lord should delay in His return, the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. I'm not saying that we ought to be so cavalier about death as to go around talking about I'm not afraid of death and so on and so forth, but I am thinking that in our heart of hearts and in our mind, we need to be in such relationship with Christ that that's not our primary concern in life so far as death is concerned. But death is still a very significant challenge, maybe not so much as it relates to us personally, but maybe as it relates to losing someone that is close to us, a loved one like a parent or grandparent, a child, a friend, whatever it might be. Those kinds of things are difficult. In fact, I read somewhere that when parents lose a child, that the chances that their marriage will survive are smaller than usual. I mean, in fact, they said 80% maybe of parents who lose a child get a divorce eventually. Well, you have to take into account, of course, that one in every two marriages fail in America to begin with, but it's still quite an uptick to go up from 50 to 80%. And so it demonstrates the great amount of stress and concern that occurs on those occasions. And so we want to talk about comfort, not as it relates to death only, but as it relates to affliction and persecution in this life. And as we notice in this passage, we'll find that comfort exists in God. There is comfort in God the Father. There's comfort in Jesus Christ, His Son. And then thirdly, this passage also points out that there is comfort that is available to us in the family of God as we relate to others in the comfort that God has given us. So think about the comfort of God in several different expressions that he gives in this passage. First of all, that this God is a God of comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. the Father of mercies. What is mercy? Sometimes when we think about mercy, we'll think about the cliches that we sometimes use, that grace is getting what you don't deserve and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And that's kind of helpful in a theological sense to begin thinking about that. But I think maybe more practically, we might look it up in the Bible and discover that this mercy that we're talking about is really another word for that would be compassion. If you looked it up in the dictionary, it might not be the first definition, but it could be the second rendering, which would say to show compassion. And so when we talk about compassion and mercy, they kind of go hand in hand. I want to refer to a definition by W.E. Vine in his Dictionary of New Testament Words, where he talks about mercy and says, mercy is an act of God. And then he says, peace is the resulting experience in the heart of man. I think that's interesting. Mercy is the act of God, and peace is the corresponding fruit of that mercy. I think that's kind of interesting, whether you use the word peace or you use the word comfort, there's a similar idea here. The mercy of God is what helps us to feel comfort. When we talk about mercy in the Old Testament, as we mentioned earlier, in the beginning of the year, we were talking about God as he looked upon himself. Mercy is linked in the Old Testament to the very character of God. And not only does he do that initially when Moses is exposed to God's likeness or God's glory in the book of Exodus, but all the way through the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, we have indications back to that time where God had described himself. For example, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 86 and verse 15, the psalmist says, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth." Who is God? He's a God that is merciful. In Psalm 145 at verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. So who is God? Well, one of the characteristics of God is that he is merciful. And for us, that is a great comfort. Because he shows mercy to us, that gives us that peace of mind that W.E. Vine was talking about. But another word for that would be comfort. In the New Testament, mercy is not connected to the character of God per se, but is connected to the person of Jesus Christ. You remember that passage in Ephesians chapter 2 where the Apostle Paul is describing our condition prior to becoming Christians. And he says that at that point you were without God and without hope and all of that. And then in verse number 4 he gets to the point. He says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. You've been saved by grace. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ." So when the New Testament talks about the mercy of God, it's demonstrated through Jesus Christ. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So whenever you want to think about the mercy of God, the prime example, the first piece of evidence, the most important evidence is Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Father of mercies, day by day, my love to thee grows more and more. Thy gifts are strewn upon the sea like sand, upon the way like sands upon the great seashore, like sands upon the great seashore. Father of mercies. But he's also referred to as the God of all comfort. Comfort, that's an interesting word. We get the word comfort in our English language from two Latin words that mean with strength. So when you think of comfort, I want you to remember the word strength. In the language in which the New Testament was originally written, the word for comfort means to be called alongside to help. So there's another word. You have strength and you have help. And so whenever you think about comfort, I want you to think about it in the terms of strength and help. A lot of times when we think about comfort, we're just talking about sympathy. But there's more to it than just sympathy. It is rendering help. It is giving strength to that person. Sympathy is great. It's wonderful. We like to have somebody be sympathetic toward us. But sometimes sympathy can border on weakness in that we might become dependent upon the person to whom who shows us that sympathy. But more than that, when we show comfort, we're helping people to find the strength that they need, and we're giving them the help that they need so that they can find the comfort that they need in God Himself and then begin to build their lives and to move on. So God is the God of all comfort. And when it says all comfort, sometimes the three-letter words are very powerful. He's a God of all comfort, which means there is no deficiency whatsoever in the comfort that He provides. In our time of need, He is everything we need and more. He's a God of all comfort. The psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes into the mountains. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Psalm 121. Another psalmist, another passage in the Psalms, Psalm 46 in verse 1, has two elements of the word comfort in it. See if you can find them. He says, God is our strength, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's a beautiful, beautiful passage. Read on sometime. It's powerful. But look at that first phrase, and what you find here in this psalm are two elements of comfort. He is our strength, and He is our help. Not just our help potentially, but a very present help in time of trouble. God is our comforter, and He's a God of all comfort. And what a wonderful thing that is. And then the Bible goes on in verse 4. He is the God who comforts us in all our affliction. He is a God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our affliction. There is no trial. There is no heartache. There is no difficulty that we face in life that goes beyond the comforting love of our Father. It can't be done. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul speaks to this very eloquently and says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a beautiful passage? Before and after. It's a beautiful all the way through that chapter, but what a wonderful thought to remember that there is no trial beyond the reach of God's comforting love. Death cannot separate us from His love and comfort. God's love is proof of His comfort. God's love is proof that He can be our strength and our help in difficult times. And Romans goes on in Romans 5, for example, in verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Comfort. And then in Romans chapter 8 at verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? The obvious answer to that is yes, He will. But the evidence for that, the evidence that He will give us all things, the evidence that He'll provide the comfort that we need, the help and strength that we need, is Calvary. Look at what He has already done. That's the proof of what He will do for us. And so God's love guarantees our comfort, our strength, our help. But don't forget about prayer. Because one of the ways that God comforts us is through prayer. Paul said in Philippians, the fourth chapter, you remember this? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, And the peace, there's peace again, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall guard, that is, protect your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verses 4 through 6. Peter said likewise, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. He's a God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction. We can pray to him about everything. We can cast every burden upon him. His shoulders are broad enough to handle it all, because he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, and all-present in our lives. That's another song we sang earlier by W.W. Walford. It also being almost 175 years old, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Comfort's available. Every affliction that we have, there is opportunity for strength, there is opportunity for help if we'll turn to the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. But another thing this passage points out, not only do we have comfort in God, but we have comfort in Jesus Christ, his Son. Verse 5 of that chapter in 2 Corinthians 1, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. So God's comfort comes through Jesus Christ. That's kind of interesting. When we look at Jesus, we understand that he is the one who comes to our aid in time of temptation. He is that merciful, faithful priest, Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. And then in chapter 4, one of the most beautiful passages in that entire book, in verse 15, because he is our great high priest, we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is comfort? It's that help. It's that strength. What does Jesus do in answer to our prayer? He helps in time of need. In the darkest night, in the most perplexing situation, he is able to provide the strength that we need. He doesn't always take us out of the situation. You don't pray and all of a sudden that big problem is just gone, or that situation is removed. Maybe sometimes it will be. Sometimes his answer to prayer is to give us the strength that we need and the help that we need to handle it and move through it victoriously. The Apostle Paul made this statement in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him, some versions say Christ, through him who strengthens me. I can do all things. And contextually he's saying I can handle any situation. I can do with plenty, I can do without, but with God, I can do it all. With Christ, I can handle it all. The opposite of that is spoken by our Lord in John 15 when it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So where is your comfort? Where is your strength and help? It's in Christ. It's in him that we find the strength to go on. The comfort is abundant. Just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also is the comfort available in abundance. God doesn't allow us to suffer beyond his ability to strengthen or comfort or help us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, at verse 16, it's an interesting passage, kind of obscure maybe on this subject, but here it is. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. That just ties up everything we've said already. You're talking about God the Father and Christ his Son. You're talking about eternal comfort and strength. And then you have here the introduction to the purpose of suffering and the purpose for which we draw strength from God so that we might be able to do every good work and word by his strength. Jesus is a comforter. When he promised the Holy Spirit, he mentioned another comforter of the same kind. The Holy Spirit was going to come. And he spoke to the apostles in John 14 and verse 26 and says, but the helper, now that's translated comforter in a lot of translations, but here it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you. And he says, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be fearful. Well, peace then, we related that to comfort earlier. The help, the strength that he provides, given to the apostles through the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit would help them in their mission in carrying out their work. Now, we have not been beneficiaries of the same manifestation of the Holy Spirit as were the apostles. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were able to teach and have remembrance of all things through the Holy Spirit, whereas we have to study the Word of God to get that. But nonetheless, as you look at that, you begin to see how that the comfort of Christ is given through His Word. And the Word given through the apostles and what we have in our New Testaments as well. There's great comfort in God's Word. Even in the Old Testament, the psalmist, as David was writing in Psalm 119 and verse 50, said, "And this is my comfort in my affliction." Now, this is where people want to stop and perk up their ears and to listen. If you've ever been afflicted, if you ever needed comfort, strength, or help, here's the first part of it. "This has been my comfort in my affliction," David. What was that, David? He said, "That your word has revived me. It's refreshed me. It's helped me to get through the thing. Your word has done that." Now, verse 52, "Likewise, I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself." Another really important passage here, because when you're needing that comfort and needing that strength, you hope that you're also able to remember the word that provides that comfort and strength. And so we are told to study the word, to long for it, to earnestly desire it, so that it will be there in our hearts and minds to use in times like that. What comfort has God give us in His Word? Remember John 14, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." How many times have we heard that read at a funeral service or at a graveside? Comforting words, where do they come from? They come from the Lord Jesus. They come from God through His Word. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Those words of the shepherd's psalm in Psalms 23, how comforting are they? And so many other passages like that. There is comfort in God. There is comfort in Jesus, His Son. And there is, thirdly, comfort in the family of God. He says, "Who comforts us in all our affliction." God comforts us. And then He uses that clause of purpose, "so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God." There is purpose to our being comforted, so that we might comfort others. Christians then have a responsibility to comfort one another. In the passage of 1 Thessalonians 4, when the good brethren of Thessalonica were writing the Apostle Paul and they had questions about him and about some things, and he found out about that somehow, and he wrote back to them because they were disturbed about their brothers and sisters in Christ who had died before the second coming of the Lord. They thought he was coming right away, and it hadn't happened immediately, and they were wondering. And so the Apostle Paul gives them all this information about the dead in Christ will rise first, and he has this whole section there. And then in verse 18 he says, Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We can comfort one another. We have that responsibility. But there's no better way to comfort someone than by being able to share with them a message from the God of all comfort and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the need that they have in their hearts if we will use God's word appropriately to help them. It's good for us to care about other people. It's good for us to sympathize, to weep with those who weep. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But we need to do more than simply care. We need to comfort. A couple of passages about comforting are found in the scriptures, and you might add to these many more passages. But I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul being comforted by the example of the brethren at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7 says he was comforted by their faith. And I'm assuming here he's talking about their life of faith and their expressions of faith and the way that they live. Remember this, that your lifestyle and your example of faithfulness in all walks of life provides a measure of comfort and strength and help to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You may not think about it. You might think, well, I can't be much comfort to people who are suffering. Well, if you live a Christian life, your example can be comforting to other people. Another statement that we find in Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, is that we can comfort people when they repent of their sins. Now, that's kind of an interesting way of, that's kind of a thought we hadn't maybe come across before. But you remember that ungodly brother in Corinth who was living with his father's wife, and how that the Apostle Paul wrote them and told them to withdraw from him. In the second letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, he encouraged them also to fellowship him and to renew their relationship with one another. He was withdrawn from because his sin, as evil as it was a reproach upon the church and a source of stumbling to other Christians. And he's not saying to them, what he's saying is not, don't go around and comfort him before he repents. Don't comfort him and say, well, that mean old Apostle Paul telling us to withdraw from you, that kind of thing. No, he was telling them to comfort him after he repented. And that gives him the benefit of coming to salvation and renewing his relationship with God. And so that's another one of those statements that are made. Another one's at Philemon verse 7, where Paul was comforted by the love of Philemon. And maybe as you read through that short little one-chapter book, you'll find that Philemon was demonstrating his love for his former slave, and that was comforting, strengthening, helpful to the Apostle Paul. What can we do in a practical sense? Let me just mention a couple of things when we're trying to comfort people. One of the first things we always have to do is to let them know that we care about them, to let them know that we remember them. Hebrews 13, verse 3 says, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, which implies that we need to take the effort and energy of putting ourselves in their place. Another thing we can do is listen to people. Take the advice of Brother James. It wasn't written in this context, but it still is a good advice. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. And don't be like Job's friends, who were just good comforters until they began to speak. Instead, listen to what the person has to say. Accept what they have to say. There is a time to correct it and a time to set it straight, but be accepting of their situation and how they feel. And in the next place is to be practical in the ways that we help. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In the same context, it says bear your own burdens. But the idea here is when someone is having trouble bearing their burden and cannot hold it up alone, lend a shoulder, help out with that in a very practical sense. Now, don't make the mistake of just doing nothing at all. There's a song we sometimes sing, very powerful. We're part of a family. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's gone through the valley, we all feel relief. together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory through His precious name. And sometimes we laugh together and sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. There is comfort in affliction. And I mean by that, not just a pat on the back, but there's strength and there's help in God the Father, in Christ His Son, and in the family of God, the church. And you think about that, and you remember the Bible's descriptions of what heaven will be like, and you see it as a place of comfort, a place where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, a place where there'll no longer be any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain, that all those things will have passed away. There's comfort available in God, in Christ, in the church. Sometimes people refuse the comfort. They don't want it. They don't want to be comforted. The Bible in the book of Genesis describes Jacob and following what he believed to have been the death of his favorite son, Joseph. And the Bible says he refused to be comforted. How many years went by? Till he finally found out his favorite son, Joseph, was not dead at all. He was still alive. But he refused the comfort. How tragic. What a far greater tragedy there is to refuse the comfort of Christ. The strength to help us overcome sin. The help we need to get through life. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That great invitation of Christ in Matthew chapter 11 speaks down through the ages as clearly as any words that have ever been spoken, and speaks to the heart of man in his troubled state and the affliction that we sometimes bear. And Jesus says, "Come to me." And if we come to Him in loving faith and acceptance and loving obedience to His will, He is there to help, to strengthen us, not just today, not just tomorrow, but through the rest of our lives if we will be devoted to Him and to walk in the light of His truth. What a great thought that is for us to consider this morning. If you have need of Christ, we all do. If you're willing to accept His comfort, His strength, and His help, and we can help, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.